In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Luther's great hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, is a sermon in itself, and I'm tempted to simply sit down, but I am not allowed to. The Word of God is the gospel for today. Luke 18, Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This is the word of the Lord. It is amazing how something can be standing right in front of you and you do not see it. This Quinquagesimus Sunday has a lot of curious ironies. In the Old Testament reading, Samuel was sent to anoint the successor to King Saul. And Samuel was certain that the eldest son would be the one who was chosen, tall and handsome. But the Lord said, he does not judge as man judges at the outward appearance. And then one might expect that the king that would be chosen would be an ugly man. But finally, when David is brought before him, we hear from the prophet that he was ruddy and good looking. But he was chosen not for his looks, but because the Lord had fashioned David to be a man after his own heart. Man does not see as God sees. We cannot see, for example, how any good can possibly come out of someone lying helpless in a hospital bed or a nursing home for months or years on end. But God may see in this the greatest good. In the midst of suffering, he accomplishes his good. Sight is a wonderful blessing. The other night I couldn't sleep. I slipped out of bed about 2 o'clock in the morning. I went downstairs to the family room to read. I carefully closed the master bedroom door so as not to disturb Beth. And after about an hour, I crept upstairs in the darkness. I knew it well, the path, only to turn and smack right into the door of the master bedroom. With eyes wide open, I ran into the door that I couldn't see. I forgot that I had closed it. In the Bible, the miracle of sight is more than the physical ability to see. The miracle of sight is a metaphor for the greater miracle of faith in Christ, faith in his suffering and death as not only the sum and substance of our salvation, but that which enables each one of us to interpret the suffering of our own lives. At the beginning of today's gospel, Jesus taught the disciples that his death and his resurrection are at the center of our faith. Jesus must go up to Jerusalem. He must be delivered to the Gentiles and be mocked and insulted and spit upon. He must be scourged and put to death upon a cross. But the third day he would rise again to life. When the disciples heard this, they understood none of it, even though it was right in front of their eyes. They were blinded to the truth, even though they had physical sight. Ironically, the blind beggar is the one who could see. But the ones who could see, the disciples, were the ones who were blind. That is delightful. Make no mistake about it, physical blindness is a bummer. No one enjoys being blind. I tried to park cars the other Friday night without my glasses because they were fogging up and I couldn't see anything. This blind man was a beggar. And because he was a beggar, he could not provide for himself. He was totally dependent upon others outside of himself. But through the things that he suffered, he learned to see greater truths, and he learned to understand the value of suffering in his own life. That's counterintuitive. It fights against human reason, but it is the wisdom and the sight of faith. He learned how dependent he was upon the Lord. He learned that the blessing of physical sight meant nothing. Without the sight of faith that looked to his Redeemer for his greatest need, life and salvation from sin and death, from which none of us can free ourselves, no matter how well we can see or how healthy we might be. We need to learn this lesson, but we don't want to. Suffering and death are not only central to God's plan of salvation, but suffering and death are also central to how God brings about the miracle of faith and sustains the miracle of faith in our hearts in this world of tears. This is called the theology of the cross. God accomplishes his greatest good through suffering and death, and when human reason is contradicted. The greatest pattern is the source of good in Jesus' suffering and death. To human reason, to the disciples, to those who were the onlookers, could anything good come out of this? But the greatest good emanated from the suffering and death of the cross: life, resurrection, reconciliation with God. This is the light that enables us to see rightly. But this is the light also through which Jesus brings the comfort of his salvation into our lives. It is through the things that we suffer that this comfort becomes the sweetest. Luther said in one of his very famous quotations from The Bondage of the Will, "When God makes alive, he does it by killing." Think of it. He put to death his son. And out of his son's death for you and for me and for the whole world, he reconciled us to God and brought life. Luther says, "When he justifies, he does it by making men guilty." Here again, without the crushing blow of the knowledge and reality of our sin, we have no need for his forgiveness, nor can that forgiveness comfort us or restore life with God. Finally, Luther says, "When he exalts to heaven, he does it by bringing down to hell." He wrote about it in that hymn, "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice." Dear Christians, one and all rejoice. The stanza, "Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay. Death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment. Night and day in sin my mother bore me. Yea, deep and deeper still I fell. My life became a living hell. So firmly sin possessed me." That was Luther's autobiographical confession of his own suffering as a sinner under the weight of God's law from which he could not free himself. We don't want to face the reality of our sin, but it is necessary if we are to see our need, and if faith is to be kindled in our hearts, if we are to see who we really are and who Jesus really is. The children of Israel were brought low by the things that they suffered, or there would have been no repentance for them. Peter, who boasted in his own spiritual strength, wept the bitter tears of contrition. when he experienced just how utterly powerless he was to be a faithful disciple of the Lord. But such experience with suffering was necessary. Believe it or not, we need to experience the same things. Without experiencing the blindness of our own lack of trust, we cannot begin to see the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God's grace, His forgiveness, comfort, and peace is that He freely loves us sinners in our suffering and struggle with sin and human weakness. He freely loves us in His Son who came to bear every sickness and sorrow and infirmity and every struggle with sin and every burden and judgment of the law. He planned my soul's salvation. Luther says, a father's heart, He turned to me, sought my redemption fervently. He gave His dearest treasure. Those words of Luther's hymn are a confession of the miracle of faith that the Holy Spirit worked in his heart through the things that he suffered. And when that gospel finally penetrated his heart of self-righteousness, a heart that was angry with God, that hated God, he said he felt as if the entire windows of heaven had been flung wide open and the burden of sin had been lifted. Dear Christians, one and all rejoice. That God works this way through the experience of our own suffering is something that is difficult for us to understand. Yet it is true. It's why St. Paul will say, after being told, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Just as Jesus' death upon the cross was the necessary cause of the resurrection from the dead because it took away sin that is the cause of death, so God must put us to death through the things that we suffer so that we come to embrace no one else but Jesus for our happiness, comfort, and life. In another hymn, we sing Jesus' priceless treasure. In thine arms I rest me. Foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Lightnings flash and thunders crash, yet though sin, my own sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. Those kinds of experiences with the reality of our human weakness are so essential in order to embrace and see clearly the light of divine grace in the Lord Jesus. While this blind beggar cried out to Jesus, we see actually that spiritual sight had already been worked in him through the things that he suffered and by the word of the gospel. Because once he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, what did he do? Son of David, have mercy on me. And over and over and over again, he prayed those words, no matter how many times the people said, shut up, be quiet. No, he was undeterred. That's the reality of faith. Faith sees through the darkness. Faith sees through the circumstances of life that seem to be against us and claims the mercy of God in Christ, apart from which there is no life or comfort. He had no idea when his suffering would end, but he knew. He knew and he believed that Jesus was his Savior. Even if he'd suffer with blindness for the rest of his life, nothing mattered more than Christ. We need to learn to believe this now during these times in which the world is full of darkness, unbelief, mistrust, hair on fire, frenetic frenzy over a virus. Nothing matters more than to embrace our suffering Savior who himself took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. This is the only path to comfort and peace. Luther was right because he echoed the scriptures When God makes alive, he does it by killing. When he justifies, he does it by making men guilty. When he exalts to heaven, he does it by bringing down to hell. But what all this means is, for those who embrace his suffering and rejoice in his grace in the midst of their own, there will be a resurrection. Receive your sight, your faith in the Lord Jesus. Christ the crucified has made you well. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.